Welcome to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer women of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Amira.
And I'm Aphrodite.
And in this episode, we will mostly be talking about Thunder Grace.
Ooh.
And their spicy scene in the last episode of Black Lightning. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so we've Amazing. Been waiting for this. We've been waiting for this to happen because I think we both wanted to talk about Black Lightning, and we're like, we can't talk about it yet because there's no,
yeah.
the ship is not moving.
Exactly.
But now so the
sitting
ship
at the
is
dock.
Like, exactly, sitting at the dock. It's like a giant ship, and all they have are like paddles.
Yeah. Exactly.
Where's the engine? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're not getting out to sea.
No.
With what they have. But man, did they deliver last week.
Yeah, that was a ton of content for Thunder Grace in a very short amount of time. I just rewatched the compilation of their scenes together, the total of which is 4 minutes and 30 seconds. So we've literally...
You know, it's better than 0 minutes and 0 seconds. So.
Right. So we've waited 5 episodes for 4 minutes and 30 seconds worth of content where the ship comes through. Every episode that I think Anissa is a fuckboy, the next episode just like she takes it to another level, you know?
Oh, I know. I know.
It's kind of amazing.
She outdoes herself so easily. Yeah. I mean, she starts this off just showing up at Grace's place, demanding emotional support. I mean, you know, how many times have we talked about this now? Like, this is so old and cliched. She's just like, my uncle died.
I know. Like, and I'm like,
what do you want Grace to do
of
about
all,
it?
Everybody knows Gambi's not dead. Like, there's just no way they kill him up. He's alive. Okay. The motherfucker's alive. Stop crying. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, don't stop using Grace as your emotional cushion.
Yes. Yes. I mean, like, you're so hot and cold. And then, so Kristen had a good quote when we were watching this episode. She goes, I feel like Anissa just thinks she owns the place. She treated this woman like shit. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That's exactly how she feels about herself. And she does not realize that she's treated Grace like shit. I mean, I feel like she apologizes in the way of like, oh, I'm sorry if I upset you. But
oh
not actually
God, but,
owning up to
oh
the fact that you did upset the person.
That's exactly the type of person Anissa is.
Yeah.
The person who says, I'm sorry that you're sad, or I'm sorry that you feel heartbroken. I'm sorry that, yeah, no, that's exactly who she is. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could not be friends with Anissa in real life, but I understand why Grace could not control herself. What are you going to do?
Those of us who have been on Grace's end of this deal know that it's like, fine. You know, like, sometimes you want to stick to your principles, and sometimes you just want to get laid. And you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Sex was good last time. I'll just, whatever. I'll do it again. But,
yeah. Well,
and then she's like, I'll give her a stern talking to.
Afterwards.
Afterwards,
after
she lays down the law.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, like, Grace is, like, you know, lounging around in her apartment. Anissa says, can I come in? And, of course, and she's crying, and Grace has to say yes because she's a compassionate person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes in, and I had to, like, write down exactly what she said. If I only had one day to live.
Oh.
Who besides my family would I want to spend that day with? And I'm just like, oh, my God.
I appreciate the Anissa impression, by the way.
Yeah.
That like, dark, brooding, whispery voice.
It's dark, brooding, whispering, and self-important. If I only had one day to live. First of all, that's a lie. Like, you...
Oh, I know. Well,
she doesn't...
She does say besides her family, and to be fair, we haven't really seen her making connections with any other people.
But it is such a stretch. It is such
a
stretch.
Oh, it is. I don't think she would have thought of Grace in that actual scenario if it was not a hypothetical. I don't think she would have thought about her.
They've barely been hanging out. And here's another, I also had to write this down. As she comes through the doorway, she also says, I know it's probably selfish of me to be here. And I literally yelled out at the screen, yes! It is.
I think we all did.
I'm just like, yes, it is selfish. You're a fuckboy.
And see, that's the other thing is like, you know, like she's that type of person with apologies. And she's also the type of person who, when she says something like this, it's because she wants the other person to be like, no, you know, like she doesn't actually think that, you know, she's just like looking for, I don't know, validation or sympathy or whatever. I'm just like, she jumped the gun way too much about Gamby, and I was already annoyed about that.
Yes.
But, you know, to then just go straight to Grace and be like, oh, can you give me some, like, pity sex? Because I'm sad. You know, I'm like, was this really your reaction? Because, like, I don't know about you, but if somebody close to me dies, I do not go looking for sex. Like, that's just not, you know, a healthy person's coping mechanism. Exactly. So,
a classic fuckboy is an opportunist. And that's what Anissa did. She took this moment where she, quote unquote, believes Gamby's dead, but actually everybody knows he's alive. And she used that as an entryway into Grace's heart, into Grace's sympathies. Grace, what was she supposed to do? Like, a hot girl comes to her door, like, crying and, like, throws herself at her. I get it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're into her, then, like...
Yeah, and, like, and the thing is Grace knows that she doesn't want to be into Anissa even though she's into her.
Yeah.
She says, what do you expect me to say to something like that after the whole, if I only had one day to live, line?
Yeah. Anissa has a habit of putting Grace in these kinds of situations where she doesn't really have a lot of options. It's like a little bit manipulative, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's a lot. It's not just a little bit, but like, it's scary to me because I feel like Anissa fully knows what she's doing. Like, she's playing these games and she knows it. She's like, oh, if I go over to Grace's and say all the right things, we'll definitely have sex.
Yeah.
And you know, that's exactly that's what happens.
Anissa likes to get what she wants. That's what she went there wanting, and that's what she got. The piano music, because, like, the piano music was, like, building up to a crescendo.
Right,
like,
right.
And I was just like, oh, my God, do we shift this? Do we not shift this? This is very complicated. On the one hand, yeah, we want them to hook up. On the other, like, oh, man, this is bad. This is bad for you, Grace.
Like, if Grace was a friend of mine, I'd be like, dude. This girl is bad news. I mean, Grace clearly, like, she caught the feelings and she's trying to throw them back. But
no. I mean,
they're not going to leave her anytime soon.
Literally all of us are that emoji with our arms as an X. That's all of us. That is all of us.
No.
Yeah.
That's what we're all yelling.
Shield yourself, Grace. Do not trust her. She's going to break your goddamn heart.
And Grace, even in the morning, she's like, okay, you know what, I'm post orgasm now, so I have a clear head. And so she's telling her, she's like, not super feeling it. And then I mean if you had told me before that there would be a Thunder Grace sex scene in this episode, but then there's something else that's even more interesting than that, I would not have believed you. But lo and behold, Grace has superpowers.
Yes.
And we don't know exactly what they are, but
yes,
she rushes out of bed to go to the bathroom because something's happening. Her skin is rippling. There's something going on with the tattoos. It's like this weird, like, energy, like, going rippling through her body. And she takes these pills supposedly to, like, you know, help ward it off, I guess, which gives me so many more questions, because I'm like, how many people with powers found some sort of medication? I mean, unless she's in contact with people who know, who've been researching this stuff, how could she have just happened upon medication that would stifle the powers? But either way, I am dying to find out what her powers are and how Anissa finds out about it and how they team up did in the comics. Because it's happening. It's happening.
Okay. Can we first rewind and go through the dialogue? I'm literally going through the timeline of events that in the 4 minutes and 30 seconds content. Okay. Because the next morning, did you notice that, like, ass shot we got the next morning?
Of course I did.
They, like, at least tried to blur it out so it looked kind of classy. Like, they made, like, they put some kind of filter on there. But we got an ass shot. And then...
and we appreciated it.
Yeah, I didn't mind.
No one's complaining.
And then, like, Anissa sort of, like, rolls over and says, what are you thinking? And Grace says, I'm thinking this was a mistake. Oof. Grace, to her credit, Anissa deserved to hear all the things that Grace said.
Absolutely.
And this is like, you know, she kind of rolls her eyes when Grace says that this was a mistake. And I'm just like, of course you'd roll your eyes because you're a fuckboy.
I was just going to say that, like, a true fuckboy would.
Like, as unlikable Anissa's behavior is in her romantic life, at least she's consistent. They really are. They really are delivering like a character for us. Mm-hmm. What was also consistent is Gray saying, you know, I'm not your handbag. You can't just show up and have sex with me when you're feeling vulnerable and then disappear when your world is right side up again, which is exactly what Anissa did in season one.
Yep.
She was feeling emotional and she needed some support, and Grace was there for her. They had that nice little scene where Grace's head was in Anissa's lap, and then she like up and disappeared and dated that other hot girl, the one with the guitar, you know?
Yeah. Well, did she like actually date her? Cause it's like, we only saw one date and like seemed like a one night stand kind of situation, but I don't know.
Well, there was that Instagram photo, remember? Episode afterwards.
Yeah, I know, because Jennifer was, like, warning her about it. I guess it just – I'm kind of annoyed with the writers because, like we were just saying with Grace when Anissa just, like, ditched her, it's like we didn't even really see that. It was just like, oh, nobody's talking about Grace anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then the next time we see Grace, she brings up that Anissa ditched her and, like, you know, they hadn't talked in ages. And so, you know, I feel like they're filling the voids of their timeline with – explanations in the dialogue instead of, you know, they're telling us and not showing us
exactly
what's happening. And so it's the same thing with this other girl who was like, you know, I thought she was just like a quick fling or something, but I don't know the extent of it is the truth because they didn't show us.
You bring up an excellent critique, which is that it's very convenient that Anissa's fuckboy approach to dating, where she just drops people, very conveniently minimizes screen time for queer people. It's convenient.
The queer storyline.
Yeah, it's very convenient to the writers that Anissa drops people left and right, because then the writers don't have to give Grace more scenes. And that's just unfair. Like, Grace in this episode was suddenly so interesting and compelling. And I have to say, not just because we discovered her powers, but because she actually calls Anissa out.
Exactly, exactly.
And she reveals something about herself too. She talks about how, you know, with her family, she learned to just rely on herself. And I love that line that she says to Anissa, where she's like, if you can't realize that you can do me real harm, I need you to stay away from me. And then Anissa can't promise that she won't hurt her again.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's what I thought. Like,
which is at least the first honest thing Anissa said.
Yeah. Well, she didn't have to say it. Some things are so obvious, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Grace, we found out a lot about her. We found out that she's emotionally intelligent, even though she sometimes can't resist temptation. Mm-hmm. And that now she has these powers and she's trying to protect herself emotionally and protect this secret that she has, that she's clearly been holding on to the whole series and we just didn't know.
You know, obviously she doesn't know that Anissa also has these powers. So she's thinking like she's even more on her own. My guess, since she's taken this medication for it, is that she's had these powers for a while. Because she knows what it feels like when it's coming. She knows what to do. And so I think she's also thinking like, okay, this is a really bad time to try to have a girlfriend because she's not going to understand this and it's something I'm going to have to hide from her.
Yeah, it also places into context a line that she had in season one where she said that she thinks it would be super lonely to be a superhero.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You think she had her power since then?
Well, I'm kind of thinking, yeah, because like, and this is like, what would you do if you had powers or whatever? And then she's like, she makes this comment about how you would have to keep it a secret from everyone, including the ones you love.
Right. Which, I mean, any comic enthusiast would also think that because that's frequently a storyline in superhero comics. Mm-hmm. And she is a comic enthusiast, but I like what you're onto. I think that it's possible that she had her powers since then, and that's, you know, she was speaking from personal experience.
Yeah. I also don't know if it's just me stretching. Because...
you know, it could be I feel like it could go either way, but that would be really, really cool to find out, you know, that she had these powers since before meeting Anissa.
Because we just didn't get very much of her. And I want to like know all the things that led up to this point. So I feel like we can reasonably expect her to be in more of the rest of season two. Do you think it's safe to say that?
I think it's reasonable, yes, because now that she has superpowers, she's part of the larger plot line and she's no longer just Anissa's love interest plot line. My only caveat is I want her to be in the episode, but I also want it to be one where the writers decide to give her a personality. You know, like I can't just have her kind of like flitting in and out like, oh, she's just there. Somebody for Anissa to leave on red.
Oh my gosh. You know what this kind of reminds me of? Okay, so some of y'all know that we used to watch Supergirl. And we don't want any more, but this R.I.P. reminds me of what if they do to Grace what they did to James Olsen on Supergirl.
Which is make him uninteresting or make him interesting?
Give him powers.
Oh, give him powers. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
But then
like, I already forgot what they did with James Olsen.
Yeah, because he became the Guardian. Which
yes,
is,
yeah, yes, that's right.
They gave him powers, but then he wasn't integrated in like that meaningful of a way. Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that he like helped to fight bad guys on the side.
I mean, we've said before, canonically, you know, in the original scripture of the comics.
Scripture, of course.
We know that they team up together to be like, you know, part of a superhero team. So I'm hoping that, you know, because now we're seeing Grace has powers, that they're following that storyline. You know, I never want to get my hopes up too high with the CW, so.
Yeah, true.
And it's like
that.
Unfortunate that like our favorite queer shows happen to be on that network. Ugh.
So we were left with this gigantic cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. And I have to say it was like it was an emotional cliffhanger because the way that Grace left that conversation, I'm like, are she and Anissa endgame? Is that what we're supposed to expect? Because if she's being pulled into the central story arc, and I'm so glad that they did that because they're saving her character from irrelevance. Like even in the last couple of episodes when she's had any scenes with Anissa, she barely had lines. It was mostly Anissa talking at her.
Yeah.
And so the way that they were originally taking things, I had doubts they were ever going to give her powers. I honestly thought they were just going to get rid of her as a character. And I think it's just because I'm paranoid about, you know, losing queer women of color on TV.
It's a fair assumption, yeah.
They're hardly giving her any, like, screen time. There's so few lines that she's getting when she does get them. Several episodes into season two and no sign of her powers. And then, boop, they drop the powers thing. And so now I feel like I can breathe a little easier. But yeah, we have to figure out. I'm wondering how much story time they're going to give Grace in sort of explaining how she got her powers. Is it connected to like Green Light or any of the other people in town who have developed weird powers, or is she kind of like another experiment, like some kind of lab experiment gone wrong? Because it sounded like her relationship with her family was kind of like it wasn't really there.
Yeah, that's true. Which, you know, whenever a queer character has that storyline, I just assume it's because of their queerness, I guess. Which, I mean, it could be in this case. But, yeah, it could be a powers thing. I mean, if she has powers similar to Anissa and Jennifer, you know, I mean, we saw that they both developed their powers relatively, like, around the same time as each other. And Jennifer is much younger, so... If she has powers like that, it could have developed at a younger age when she was still living at home. It could have just happened to her a month ago. Like, we really have no idea. But I think that they'll dive into that a little bit more because they know that everyone's asking those questions. You know what I mean? It's not just people who care about the romantic subplot. Your question about whether it's endgame, I would bet on it.
Okay.
I would bet on it because I'm noticing this sort of trend in TV shows where, you know, before I feel like they have their main characters go through quite a few love interests before finally settling on one. Mm-hmm. And nowadays I feel like it's like the first one they show them with, that's supposed to be endgame. And sometimes they like break up and then they come back to each other, you know, rinse and repeat for the drama. But like what they think viewers want, and perhaps it is what viewers want, is that the first person that we get attached to, that we see them with on screen, if they're getting like positive feedback from the fans about that, then that's going to be endgame.
No, you're right. That is the general trend in television. And I think part of the reason why is because live viewership is going down and people are relying on social media engagement like Twitter, Tumblr. They're weighting that a lot more heavily and fandom is in those spaces.
Yeah.
So if you have a ship that can generate like a strong following, then those give you good numbers. The way to write a relationship that is compelling is to have it be between the same two people, because then you have like history between those two people and like growth and change between them. And it also saves them the trouble of recasting.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
But like other things can change. For example, like Floriana Lima decided to leave Supergirl. And so Maggie Sawyer, they had to write in some irreconcilable conflict between her and Alex. So this is on Supergirl. Alex wants a baby. Maggie doesn't. They broke up. and the Sanford's shippers were heartbroken about this.
Yes.
And so obviously the writers have no choice but to look for an alternative future OTP with their queer character. So Alex is supposed to get another girlfriend, and it's a question, and now it's just like, well, how could she possibly live up to Maggie? So I think sometimes when that happens, when actors get sort of pulled into other projects or when they have the sense to leave, like...
Yeah, of course,
then,
yeah.
Then that happens.
That throws everything into a loop from the writing perspective, yeah. I do think that they're supposed to be endgame right now, not only because of that trend that I'm seeing, but because of the canon of the comics, which, you know, does say that they get together. I don't know if they stay together while they're, you know, superheroes or whatever, but I would imagine so. I don't know why they would be, like, just friends.
Yeah, best buds who fight crime together.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like a team, you know, so it's not just the two of them, but it's like a group, but, a group date.
A group date. Okay, so question. What would Anissa have to do? Like, what would have to change with Anissa in order for this to be a healthy endgame?
That's a good question. I think at the very least, she needs to own up to her actions having consequences and what those consequences are. Show Grace that she hears her, she understands her. I mean, Grace has feelings, and Anissa is just either doesn't care or doesn't know what they are. And so I'm hoping Anissa will get some sort of larger awakening in her character where she's not as, you know, headstrong about everything. You know, she's constantly butting heads with her dad about, like, the superhero stuff. So I'm hoping that it'll be, like, an all-over change in her character. Mm.
I think it would probably be an all-over change precipitated by a large event where somebody's life is in danger, maybe Grace's, and, like, she suddenly has this take stock of, like, what it means to lose someone you love, or something bad happens to her, and she suddenly has to deal with her ego and how it keeps her from making good decisions. Some kind of precipitating event will course correct for her as a character and then potentially make Grace feel less guilty if she decided to date Anissa.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because people can change. And so I think if Grace sees that and decides that it's good enough change, then we can allow that. I do think that your idea of Anissa being the one in danger, I think that makes more sense and is also less, because, you know, if it's Grace, then it's like damsel in distress-y. So I feel like that wouldn't really... I wouldn't really like that storyline very much, but Anissa being in trouble does make sense because she thinks she's invincible right now. And I think if she recognizes her own vulnerabilities, I think that that would be a really good event for her to, like, you know, make that character shift.
She needs to eat some humble pie, like, like 50 servings of it.
We're going to keep an eye on Black Lightning and see, hopefully they'll continue to give us more of Grace and more of Thunder Grace specifically, because, you know, I know they can, what I'm expecting is there'll be at least one or two episodes where they just talk about Grace in terms of her developing powers and there's no, you know, romantic storyline that's actually shown. So, which I would not like, obviously, but I think that that's highly possible, especially with the way the show's going this season. They'll just have Grace on as, you know, a subject to be studied basically for her powers and not as a love interest for Anissa, so that they wouldn't, like, further develop their relationship.
Grace is definitely too smart to turn this into a friends with benefits thing.
Oh, no. I don't think that's what she wants. Like, she doesn't want detachment. As much as it sounds like that would be really the thing for her with her little speech about, you know, or how she keeps everybody at a distance.
She learned to basically not rely on anybody.
Yeah, so I just feel like that's the kind of person who would be having casual hookups and one-night stands. But look at her catching feelings. I mean, she's like, I don't know, I feel like she's like a hurt puppy, you know? Like, she's like, I don't want to trust anybody, but I can't help. I can't help but have feelings for people.
Oh my God, this is like Shaw on Person of Interest.
It is like Shaw.
Who, like, hooks up very sort of sporadically and then, like, can't resist when Root is, like, constantly flirting with her and, like, develops a soft spot for Root.
But I feel like Grace doesn't do the sporadic hookups at all, you know? She's just more like...
That we know of. She did
that
say,
we know of. Yeah,
Anissa
did say,
like, remember they were in that bar, and Anissa's like, have you been dating other people? And like, it was, I'm like, la-duh, Grace is dating other people.
Yeah, but I'm like, because I don't know if it's casual or she's trying to date seriously or what's, you know what I mean? I don't know what the extent of it is. So, I don't know. I just want the details. I just want, like, a whole episode of Grace just, like, monologuing about herself and her life and what she's
so
been
we get
to.
Something?
Yeah. Like, it's like I just want to like go out to coffee with her and be like, what's going on?
Oh my god. You know what I'm gonna do right now? Mm. I'm gonna look at how many fanfics there are for Thunder Grace on Archive of Our Own.
Okay.
Let's see what comes up. I actually don't think there's that much fic out there. But maybe I'm wrong, you know?
I mean, there could be maybe some from the original comics. I'm not sure how big that fandom was.
Okay. Okay, I am on archiveofourown.org/tags/GraceTroy/AnissaPierce. And there are 66 total works.
Ooh, not bad, not bad.
Okay, I will say this. For a ship that has gotten as little screen time as Thunder Grace, it's a lot of fics.
It is, definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to work my way through this.
And see your research.
I'll just do a little bit of, oh my god, some of these are like definitely very explicit. I just have to give it to these fans. Like they come up with all the good shit, really.
Yeah.
And
all
like
the smut.
I know. I think it's like mostly smut. I have a friend who actually writes fic and told me that if I ever wanted to write fic, the only guarantee that I would find readers is if I include smut.
Wow.
That's all people want. That's what the people want. You have to give them what they want.
Interesting.
And it's true. If you are a good smut writer, you'll be very successful as a fic writer.
That's good to know. Yeah. So anybody out there who wants to start a career as a fanfic writer, make sure you make it smutty.
Do you want to backtrack a little bit and talk about what happened on Charmed this week?
Yeah. This week of Charmed, I was very disappointed. For those of you who listened to our last podcast, you know that my prediction was that Nico would be featured because in the preview for this episode, they showed Mel saying, I miss her so much. You know, usually in the preview, it's like hints to what the plot line will be. It's not just like a random, it turned out to just be like a random scene at the end of the episode. And we didn't get any Melko. We just got, you know, little tidbits here and there of Mel missing her. You know, it started with her sisters saying like, you need to stop moping and blah, blah, blah. And then Mel turned out actually truthfully said she was not moping. She was doing research on the elder deaths, including her mother. So, you know, in a way, that's, I guess, not moping about Nico, but, you know, that's also what Nico was about to investigate. So, and then she's also wearing the shirt that she wore when she and Nico first met, which was so heartbreaking to hear. She's not taking it off because she doesn't want to feel like it's over. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, poor thing. It was nice to see her sisters, like, you know, try to help her get through this and like pull her out of the house and be there for her. Those were nice scenes because she's going through a breakup, even though it wasn't a breakup. It was a rewriting of history breakup where they never actually were together.
Exactly.
And all she has are her memories.
Which is almost more pain. I feel like that would be more painful.
And like the only people you would be able to talk about that with are your sisters plus Harry.
You know, I have to say at the end of this episode, I got this like this wave of fear over me.
What?
And I am really worried that Nico is not going to come back or that Melko is not going to be endgame. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you about my intense anxiety that I felt at the end of the episode. It was so strange, that scene with Mel and Maggie touches her and she's like, oh, I can feel how sad you are. And, you know, tells her about like moving on and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, is this really how they're ending it? Like that she's just supposed to get closure and that's it. Like, I don't know. I'm having a hard time understanding what's going on. And because it's not based on an already written story, I can't look up spoilers and like reassure myself that Nico will in fact come back. So I don't know.
Wow.
What do you think?
As soon as you said that just now, my stomach dropped.
Oh, I'm sorry. I felt at the end of the episode.
I couldn't even fathom. I couldn't fathom that reality where Nico doesn't come back. You have to bring Nico back.
I know.
I think what they're doing successfully is convincing us that the odds are completely stacked against them ever getting back together. Because everybody loves a good comeback ship story where you think it's over, you really thought it was dead, and like you had every reason to believe that they weren't going to get back together, but somehow they find their way back to each other. That's like, that's, I think, what makes a good ship a great one, is if they're able to bring us along on that roller coaster and devastate us and then give us hope and then devastate us again and then give us hope, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I obviously agree with you, but I'm just wondering, like, is that what they're planning? Oh, you know, man. I mean, that would be great if that were the case. I mean, like, leave me hanging and then bring me back on board. Please, I love it. I love it. I live for that kind of torture. But... But
that's us on this podcast.
Yeah. don't leave me hanging and then like actually not bring Nico back, and even worse, leave Mel without a romantic storyline for ages while her sisters get to have all the fun.
They can't give us that many episodes without Nico. I think Nico's going to be back before the mid-season finale and before the holiday break. We're going to get some kind of clip or like some kind of little scene that is a cliffhanger and lets us believe that they might actually get back together. So that's what I think is going to happen.
All right. I am praying for that. I really am.
Yeah. If we're not getting a whole lot of like the queer storyline, like a shipper storyline, we're definitely not going to spend that much time talking about the hetero ships. This episode, we focused on Black Lightning, and we're hoping that we get a little more insight into Melko in upcoming episodes. And like, I enjoy Charmed as a show too. I care about the characters. I care about Macy and Maggie, and I care about their sisterhood. Oh my God, that final scene where they, what do sorority sisters do?
Oh, initiation.
Yes, they initiate, they initiate Maggie into the Vera Vaughn sisterhood. That was super duper cute.
That was cute. I liked that a lot. And then they made Harry an honorary sister. I was kind of sad that he's like moving out of the house and like, it's nice having a little butler around you.
Yeah, he grew on me. He grew on me the last couple episodes. Like, he offered to be, like, Macy's plus one. Oh, he really came through in this episode for all the girls. So I'm a little bit sad about that, too. I'm like, you know, I don't mind him anymore if he came back. Like, obviously, Mel came around to like him. So.
Yeah. I mean, if Mel can like him, then any angry queer woman can like him.
Oh, my God.
Mel speaks for all of us.
So if by episode 8, Nico does not come back, the second acceptable scenario for me is Mel foolishly trying to date other people. That, I think, would actually be a kind of smart way to go about things. Have Mel at least try to date again.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it'd be cute, like, maybe if, like, one of her sisters or even Harry, you know, because Harry just set her up with a job. So what if he like tried to set her up on a date? I think that would be kind of funny. Good intention. And then Mel just kind of like mopes off to the date.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
You know what I would love is like the camera is coming from her point of view and she's sitting at the same coffee table and like girls come in through each. And
like a montage.
Date, yeah, like a really fast comedic montage where each date says something horrible or super stereotypically queer. And then and she sits in the same ass coffee shop and is just like, you know, cycling through them.
Yeah.
That would be pretty. That would be cute. Yeah. And like one of them has three cats on her shoulders. Like,
yeah, I was just thinking one of them's like, we could get a cat together.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Or one of them is like a witch, but without powers, like a Wiccan. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. That'd be great. And it just makes me sad though, because all I can think about is Nico, like while this is going on, you know, and then suddenly like Nico comes into the coffee shop and Mel's like, just like looks up.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm sorry.
Such a
I'm
great
sorry.
Scene. That would be such a great scene. Amira, you should write the show.
I know. Like, I know. I'm sorry.
Like, she's like in the middle of this first date montage and like everyone is super boring or awful or annoying. And then in the background, she sees Nico with her fake glasses on and her hair in a ponytail and she's buying a coffee and then she's leaving the coffee shop. And like Mel can't even focus on the person in front of her. Wow. That was great. Like, that was a great episode just now.
Yeah. It's a good hypothetical. Yeah, and you know, I can't find any information about if Nico will be featured in the rest of the season because she is credited for every episode.
Yeah, I also no longer trust IMDb because IMDb made me think Grace wasn't going to be in last week's episode, she was. I like told Amira, hey, Grace isn't going to be in this episode. Let's record our podcast before Black Lightning airs. And then we recorded, and then I was like, well, fuck.
Yeah, boy, were we wrong.
we were so glad to be wrong, though. So, mm-hmm. so glad to be wrong. Whew, we get a couple more episodes before the mid-season finale for both Charmed and Black Lightning. Mm-hmm. We've already sort of explored some theories of how we think things could go.
And then I think for Charmed, it could be the shapeshifter thing, because wasn't it the shapeshifter stealing Macy's blood at the end?
Yes.
Maybe that'll, like, culminate in some way that, you know, when they solve the problem, it also, like, rewrites history or something. I don't know. I want Nico to come back. I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm just so desperate for the resolution of the mid-season finale to be like things to go back to normal.
They said the spell was irreversible, though.
I know, but maybe there's something, you know, when you like vanquish the shapeshifter, I don't know, man. It's magic. Like anything could happen. Anything. Nothing is like permanent or forever, I feel like, with magic storylines.
That's true. I just think from a writing perspective, it would be more original for them to have another meet cute and date in this timeline.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, that that could happen too. Why not? Yeah. You know, maybe once they've gotten rid of the shapeshifter and biotech dad, then she'll be like, oh, it's safe. I'm going to go meet Nico.
Yeah. I just hope we find out that Nika ended up leaving her fiance anyways.
I hope so too, because I feel like that would also maybe give Mel, you know, a little bit of peace of mind about that, that like, you know, somebody leaves someone specifically to date you. Like, it's like if you knew that relationship was doomed from the, in the first place, then it's a little bit better.
Woo! We got to talk a little bit about both of our ships, but I'm so happy we got to spend time talking about Grace Choi.
Mm-hmm. Finally.
Yeah. I know. Oh my God. Important news.
Oh yes.
Both Chantel Toy and Nafisa Williams retweeted my tweet.
I am both so of them. Proud of you.
They retweeted my tweet. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they know about my existence and like I retweeted my tiny little meaningless tweet. Ugh.
Yeah. It wasn't meaningless to them. You were the fan that was excited. Like, you're the fan that they're doing this for, you know?
I hope so. Oh my God, I have to get a picture with them at Klexicon.
Oh, did you not meet Nafisa Williams last time?
I wasn't that on board because we didn't have a ship to ship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. But I mostly want a picture with Grace Choi.
Well, we'll see if she's going to be there.
I don't know. They haven't announced everybody who's going to be at Klexicon.
I don't even know if Nafisa will come back because she didn't get a lot of action last time. So
I think this time around, she would be getting plenty of attention.
Yeah, I hope so.
With the Thunder Grace storyline starting to pick up. Well, there are at least 66 fics out there. Who knows? That number could grow. We should monitor the number of Thunder Grace fanfics that get posted to AO3. And just like as the season progresses, I think maybe I'll start doing that and just sort of like keep track of like how – that's how you know that a fanfic is growing. By the number of the volume of smut available on the internet. That's how you know.
Yeah. I think that's brilliant. Yeah. We can put that into like a graph.
Right?
Of like different shows as they grow, their fanfics grow over time.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us again next time, which should be after Thanksgiving. And I just want to say on the record, Amira, I'm so thankful for you. Thank you for being my fangirl BFF and for going on this journey with me every week.
The feeling is 100% mutual. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, friends. Bye.
Bye.